some old friends of the ministry back. Rico and Jen, good to have you with us. And Steve down the front here. Twin brother to Brian. You only know them because of the beard. Isn't that crazy? Amazing. Well, I want to start with something funny this morning. So these are true stories that happened, and these are church bulletin bloopers, because sometimes people don't see the typos, and it still gets published, okay? So let me show you the first one. Here we go. So. Crazy, just one word will make a difference, huh? Remember in prayer the many that are sick of our community. Too funny, yeah. Well, then, you know, the church has various ministries that it does. But I don't think that this is one of them. This is the next one. Have a look at this one. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help you. That is not one of the ministries of the church. Then I'm going to tell you another thing that just happened just Thanksgiving weekend. Terry, is it okay if I mention? Okay. So Terry's parents, Catholic people, they faithfully go to church here in Rancho Bernardo, and the church put out an email just around Thanksgiving time. And so this is what happened. So if you go ahead and read this. So... true story. Terry's mom actually called in and said, did the lady die? You're having a mass for an 85-year-old. Did she die? Didn't know she died? And then they realized it was RSVP instead of RIP. They should have had RSVP in it. Yeah, crazy stuff, huh? Crazy stuff. All right, well, praise the Lord. Good to see you here this morning, and let's get going. This morning's sermon title is Miracle of New Beginnings. Miracle of New Beginnings. We've been talking about miracles. Miracles, miracles, miracles. God is a God of miracles. We believe our life is filled with miracles. And this was very interesting that the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart. You know, Christmas is a time of miracles. We have the angelic choir that appeared. We have the star that came. We had the wise men. We had Jesus' birth, all of these miracles that occurred right at this time. And you know, by and large, the Christian world celebrates this time with the babe in the manger, while the world will celebrate this time as happy holidays. That's what they miss it altogether. But in reality, there's actually a secret. You know, yes, Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus, our Savior. But you know, there is a secret inside. There's a mystery inside this that many people don't know. And I want to get into that this morning, because actually, it is a miracle new beginning, the birth of Jesus. That is what actually took place. And this is the significance of the event. We know the obvious truth, Jesus the Savior. That we know that's the obvious truth. But many people don't understand that Jesus was the first God-man. He was 100% God and 100% man. Now this morning, I'm going to take you a little deeper than I usually do. I'm going to show you some things from Scripture concerning this event, and then we'll come out the other side, and we'll be excited. We're going to get a little bit of truth here, a little bit of insight. All right, so we're ready to go. Let's have a look at the first Scripture, and it's found in Matthew 1:23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Everybody say Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We sang about that this morning. Emmanuel means God with us. Let's not take that lightly, because I said that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, and the scripture said that it was God with us. So I'm going to give you some scripture this morning to prove categorically that Jesus is God. Give you another scripture found in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, talking about Jesus, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. A body you have prepared for me. So in other words, God created a body for his son. He actually created a body that the Spirit, God's Son, could occupy. So when Jesus arrived, and this is what we celebrate, the birth of Jesus is actually the arrival of the Son of God in a flesh, bone, and blood body. Now, just because I say the Son of God doesn't mean that Jesus is in any way inferior to the Father or the Holy Spirit. In fact, in all respects, they're equal. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equal. And you need to understand that, because as we move on with our study this morning, you're going to get really blessed when you find out what God has done for you. Now, to prove to you that Jesus is in fact God and the Son of God, let's have a look at some quick scriptures found in John chapter 1, verse 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So before anything happened, the Word was with God in the very beginning, and the Word was God. Now notice it didn't say the Son of God, and it didn't say Jesus. It said the Word, the Word. And remember, the Bible says that God sent his Word and healed us and delivered us from our destructions. Now look at verse 14 in the same chapter of John. The Word became flesh. So there we understand the Word was with God in the beginning, and then the Word became flesh. And we know this flesh was a body prepared by God, especially to be inhabited by his Son. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So far, are you tracking with me? So we know who Jesus is. We know he's the Son. There's no doubt about it. All right, so let's go a little further. John 1, verse 9. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So the scripture just said that the world was created by Jesus before he was Jesus. See, I want to say something to you now, if you can get your thinking hats on. Jesus never existed until he was born from Mary and given the name Jesus. Prior to that, he was the Son of God and the Word of God, and he was with God, and he, with the Holy Spirit and the Father, co-created all things. And there's other scriptures that said all things are held together by his Word. So Jesus, prior to being called Jesus, was the Creator. So here's the problem. People didn't recognize him as the Creator, and people today still don't recognize him as the Creator. In fact, people today don't recognize any Creator. That's how far they've moved away Let's finish reading verse 9. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So it's possible. It's possible for Jesus to show up in people's lives and for them not to recognize that it's God. They may say it was circumstance. They may say something else, you know, coincidence. But they don't recognize that it was God that did it. Okay? And even so in your life, there are times when God has shown up in your life and you didn't realize it was God. So he was the co-creator in the world. One more scripture, Matthew 1:20. But after he had considered this, talking about Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will be their Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, Justifier. I want you to give him the name Jesus. So very, very important. So remember, the name Jesus started here. Bible school people who have graduated, we have Jesus is his humanity, and we have the Son of God as his divinity, and we put the two together and we have hypostatic union, only for those who've been through Bible college, so it can give them something to feed on. So Jesus, his humanity, God's Son's humanity, began at the birth of Jesus, because the Bible said, you have prepared or created a body for me. With me so far? We good? All right. So this is what we're talking about. This is Christmas. Little difficult to put that on a, you know, over the manger and explain this. Right? But hallelujah, you're here in church and you're getting this firsthand by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. Well, as most of you know, Pastor Jackie had an out-of-body experience. And she was taken by the Holy Spirit into the presence of the Father. And in the presence of the Father, he showed her his creation. And he spoke to her about many things, which I happened to record when she was telling me. One of the things she spoke about was the birth of Jesus. And I thought it would be very appropriate at this Christmas time to share with you, in line with what I've just taught you, what she saw and what the Holy Spirit and what God the Father shared with her. All right? So let's listen.
I don't know where I'm awake, wake, steep in my body. Because I wasn't here. I was on a journey. There was nothing here. It was just a body. I was not here. My spirit was out there with him on his journey that he showed me. I don't know whether I was asleep or awake. Because I wasn't here.
Why do you think God showed you this?
I don't know. I think he just wanted me to know who he was. He just wanted me to know. That's all I think in my body, I didn't know that I know that I know what I know now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. We sing about him, we talk about him, we kneel by his throne. Now we have Jesus there. You know, Jesus wasn't always there, but he was. Jesus came through man. Jesus came because he, the Spirit, the Creator, came on earth. And God came to Mary.
Right.
And he overshadowed her. Mm-hmm. And he made her pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted a son from earth. To represent man.
Mm-hmm.
In heaven. Right. Where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted a man to be God and man. The first one to exist. Because before it was just him. Now he said, I want my spirit and man to be one. And he made Mary pregnant. And he made the first being that was just like him in a body of a man.
Hmm.
That's what he wanted. He wanted
it. He showed you this.
Oh, everything. He showed me, and he showed me how he wanted to be a man with God in him. And he said, that's the way I did it. Because I wanted a being that was just like me in flesh to represent the always be on my side, reminding me of my creation on earth.
Quite a journey, huh? Now, her life has changed dramatically, and obviously so has mine, because I trust her implicitly. And you can tell from her voice that she's not making something up. This is something that happened. And it overwhelmed her and gave her insight and revelation, and the scriptures confirm exactly what she's saying. We've just looked at the scriptures this morning. So we're talking about the miracle of new beginning. So the birth of Jesus, the God-man, is a miracle of a new beginning. You with me on that? All right. But the resurrection of Jesus in his glorified body is also a miracle new beginning. Because we are all going to be resurrected, are we not? Jesus is the first, and we are going to be resurrected as well. So it was the beginning. Now, listen to this statement. Christians who are born again. Now you say, aren't all Christians born again? Do you know people that call themselves Christians and that you know that they're not born again? Huh? They're usually the ones who give Christianity a bad name. Not all Christians are born again. You can call yourself a Christian, it doesn't make you one. So Christians who are born again are a new species, a new creation that never existed before. Talking about a miracle of new beginnings. This happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. We got born again, and a new species, a new creation that had never existed on the earth before came into being. Called born again Christians. The miracle of the new beginning. Listen to the scripture found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you know that God is not in the remodeling business? He is in the creating business. And so when the time came for you to get born again, he did not remodel your spirit. He didn't take an old mattress and put a new stuffing in it. He made a brand new creation, a new heart, a new spirit. That's what he did. And the old things have passed away. According to this scripture, it says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the old life passes away, all the sin, all the shame, all of that passes away. The spirit man gets made new. It's a new creation. It is a brand new miracle. Now, one of the things that the father said to Jackie, and he showed her that he is a creator and he loves to create. And he said this to her, that God, that he loves to make things new. And he said, while people are believing me for healing, I want them to believe me for new parts, recreated parts, like Jackie Newbrain, like Jackie Newhart. Whatever it is that you have need of, God is saying to you, believe him for a brand new one, not a healed one, not one that's been remodeled. Amen? So if you've had a stroke and you need to be healed, believe God for a new brain. Every day we lay hands upon Jackie, morning and night, and we speak to that brain and we say, you are brand new. You've been created brand new. Therefore, your body works in such a fashion. Paralysis is gone. Weakness is gone. In the name of Jesus, your muscles are strong because you have a new brain. Begin to say that over your body. Whatever it is you need. You need new liver, new kidneys, new heart, new lungs. Say that. Say that. Believe God wants you to have new. He wants to recreate for you brand new organs. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we who are born again, listen carefully, have received God's seed into our spirits, implanted by the Holy Spirit, the same way Mary did. Now, I think I wrote that up for you. There it is. I wrote it up because you probably want to get that down somehow, and you can meditate on it. I'm going to say it again. You who are born again, we who are born again, have received God's seed into our spirits, implanted by the Holy Spirit. That is how Mary became pregnant. That is how Mary became pregnant. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her and implanted into her the seed of God. Now, I'm going to bring this down to a kind of a more, you know, human level, natural level, for you to understand what happened. So let me read you a scripture from 1 John 3, verse 9. It says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin as a lifestyle. No one will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. Now, when we hear that, God's seed remains in him, and we've been born of God's seed, we don't actually turn that into natural terms. Listen to what it actually says. We cannot go on sinning because we have actually been fathered by God. I need you to think on that just a little bit. Just think about that. We're talking about divine seed implanted into your spirit, man, when you get born again. Literally, we have received God's DNA and we have received the Spirit of God into our spirits. We have become, are you ready for this? Just like Jesus. I told you I was going to go a little deeper than normal. But yay, it's Christmas! Christmas for me. We have received God into us, our spirits inside your body. You are wall-to-wall God. Some of you think you got a little bit of God when you got born again, and when you got the Holy Spirit, you just got a little bit. No, no. As far as I understand, you're the temple. You're the temple of God, yeah? So we're wall-to-wall God in our spirit man. Do you get that? Some of you are getting it. I can see on your face. Others, the lights have come on, but there's nobody home. So write this down. I have received God into my spirit. Write that down. I have received God into my spirit. You know, God always, it was always God's plan to be one with his creation. How many know that? It was always his plan to be one with his creation. And that's why he made us the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus asked the Father, can you give them the Holy Spirit? And the Father said, sure. And we have received the Holy Spirit. So we have received God into us. God specializes in doing new, outrageous things, miracle things that have never been done before. He never tires of figuring out something new to do because he is the creator. In fact, if you think about this, all of Jesus' healings that he did were new beginnings. They were actually miracle new beginnings. Think about the blind person that got healed. Now, suddenly, their eyes are open, and they sing for the first time. They're putting faces to voices. They're putting sight to the trees. They're putting flowers to the smell. They're connecting things together. We're talking about a brand new life, a new beginning. What about those who got their ears opened up? They were deaf before. Now they're hearing the voices of the people. They're hearing music for the first time. They're hearing birds sing for the first time. Do you think that's a new beginning? Yeah. What about the leper who couldn't mix with people and had been ostracized, now suddenly healed, and he can go in and love and be loved and hug somebody? New beginning. Miracle of new beginning. What about the lame person who had to be helped everywhere, was stuck at home, or begging somewhere, suddenly gets healed? The lame person gets healed, and he gets wheels. Yeah? He gets wheels. I mean, he's out there running. He's everywhere. He's walking. He's using it. And he's looking at everybody sitting around going, why are you sitting around? Use those legs. It's a brand new beginning for him. It's a miracle of new things. God is in the business of doing new things. In fact, you remember Jesus actually spoke about the new wine being poured into new wineskins? Jesus also always spoke about new things. He spoke about the new covenant. And you know why Jesus said new wine, new wineskins? Do you remember that? Because he said the old wineskin, well, what'll happen to the old wineskin if you put new wine in it? It's going to burst. Was he really talking about wineskins, or was he talking about something else? He was actually talking about the human spirit. Because the new wine represents the Holy Spirit. And he was saying you can't take the Holy Spirit and put it into a old, dead human spirit. Can't do that. You have to create a new spirit to take the Holy Spirit in. That's what he was saying. Talking about new things. Miracle, new things. Always new things. Praise God. You know, there are 41 references to new wine in the Bible. 41 references. And of course, it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. But get this, there's 192 references to new things. This is one of my favorite verses. Ezekiel 36, verse 2. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart, your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you. This is Old Testament. This is a prophetic word about where we are living right now. God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do it for all of you. Anybody who wants this, I'll take out the old heart of stone and I will put a heart of flesh. I will put a new heart in you and I will remove the old one and I will put a new spirit in you and I will put my spirit in you. I've told you, God always wanted to be in his people. As Jackie said, the Lord told her, I've always wanted to be one with my people. All right, new things. Talk about new things. Do you know that God's going to make a new heaven, a new earth? Yeah, because of climate change, he's got to do it. And he's not going to increase taxes to do it. How many know the Bible said he's going to create a new heaven and new earth? Huh? You read in the book of Revelation, right? Well, how would you like to know this? The actual Bible says it four times, four different places. Huh. It says two in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament. I'm not going to bore you with all of them. I'll just give you three. See? See how kind and gracious I am? 2 Peter 3:13. But in keeping with his promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. Hallelujah. We're not going to go to an old heaven. I would imagine our heaven could get old. I don't know how it could get old, but God thinks so. It's going to get old, and the earth is going to get old. We know that earth's going to get bashed up, but he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. And Revelation 21:1, this is probably the one that you're familiar with. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Sorry, Brian. Sorry, Steve. No surfing, no sea. All right? Hey, I know. What do you know? No heaven, new heaven and a new earth. All right. But here's the one I really want to get to. This is the one I really, really want you to see. Found in the book of Isaiah 65, verse 17. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. Heavens is plural. New galaxies. I'm going to create everything new out there, solar systems. And a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. You know what that says to me? That when we get there, that we're not going to recall or recollect what we went through on earth. It's going to be put away. We're not going to remember it anymore. It's not going to even come to mind. I don't think that you'll want to think about earth and COVID-19, and 2020. I don't think you'll want to think about that when you're walking on the streets of gold and you're talking with all the people out there and the angelic beings and friends and relatives and seeing the Spirit of God and talking like that. You go, do you remember 2020? Are you kidding with me? No. Well, I was shut in. Well, all the old things are gone. Don't think about it anymore. It's gone. In fact, the Bible says it won't even come to mind. Won't even come to mind. And then this verse concludes this. Verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. He's still going to be creating. He wants us to rejoice in what's going to be created. Now, how many of you have reached a place in your life well, you need a miracle new beginning. You need a miracle new beginning. Well, I've got good news for you. God is going to create a miracle new beginning for you this Christmas time. Amen? Amen? Amen. Say that with me. God is creating a miracle new beginning for me this Christmas. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, we know he's in the miracle business. We know he's in the miracle creating new business of new miracles and new beginnings. So why not? Why not? Why not do something for us? I believe he's going to do something for us. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Job. I'm going to find something in the book of Job that's good. Are you ready? This is a new thing. Job 14:7. At least there is hope for a tree. Are you kidding with me? No, I'm not kidding with you. There's hope for a tree. If there's hope for a tree, got to be hope for me. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. So, do you feel that maybe you've been cut down? Do you feel like an old stump dead in the ground? Has your mistakes, your pains, and your hurts suck the life out of you? Have your desires turned into depression? Have your dreams turned into nightmares? When you look over your shoulder, do you see a graveyard of dreams? Could you write the book, 7 Ways to Kill a Dream? No hope for the future. No way of getting out of your circumstances. I guarantee you, some of you are there. And while we've had fun and we've looked at some things this morning, I guarantee some of you are there. And I want you to take a moment to do some soul searching. And I don't want you to become introspective, and I don't mean for you, condemn yourself. But I do want you to take an honest look. Is it possible that you may have contributed to your circumstances? Is it possible? Did you perhaps have a moral failure, and that's the reason you're in your circumstance? Did you perhaps knowingly disobey God? Have you shorted God with your tithes and your offerings, caused financial problems? Did you have a spiritual test, a faith test, and fail? Did you give up on God? See, any one of those would probably have resulted in you feeling like an old dead tree that's been cut down, that you have no future. But God says, there's hope. God says, even if you're feeling cut down, even if you're feeling dried up, even if you're feeling like your roots are in the ground but they're not getting any water, all you need, according to the scripture, like the tree, is a scent of water. Just a scent of water, and will begin to bud again. Yeah? Yeah? Just a scent of water. You want to write this down. Write this down. You're not over. The season in your life is over. You're not over. The season in your life is over. You know, I believe with all my heart, as I was preparing this message, that God divinely arranged for you to hear this message, whether you're here this morning or whether you're watching me through the live stream. I believe God divinely arranged for you to hear this message. Why would he do that? I believe because he wants to do a miracle new beginning in your life. I believe he wants to turn things over. And I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. Bury your past. Bury those hurts. Bury those mistakes. Bury those missteps. Bury those things that you've been through. Don't allow them to come back into your mind. The new heaven, the new earth, they will not even come back to your mind. Bury them because it's time for resurrection. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's time for resurrection. It's time for a miracle new beginning in your life. Amen. And you can't hold on to that old and onto the dead and still expect there to be a new life. Let it go. Let it go. And then believe for a new beginning. Can you do that? Yes. Say, it's time for my resurrection. Time for my resurrection. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to this verse in Job 14, verse 7. If you can, flip back to it. Read it again. There's hope for the tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. Its new shoots will not fail. Say that with me. Its new shoots will not fail. It's talking about you. It's talking about the new shoots that are coming forth in your life. God's saying it's not going to fail this time. You're not going to fail this time. You're going to overcome. Your marriage is going to be restored. You're going to be healed. It will not fail. Your finances will recover. There's going to be a miracle breakthrough for you. New shoots are being birthed. It's your resurrection. It's a time for a new miracle in your life, a miracle of new beginnings, and it will not fail this time. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe for it shall not fail this time. All you need is a scent of water. All you need is a scent of water. Where are you going to get that? Right here. Right here. I believe not only did God arrange for you to hear this, and for those listening, I believe with all of my heart, God established the promised church so that you could come here and receive his refreshing water of the Spirit so he could continue to work miracles in your life ongoing. You're not here by accident. God has brought you to this place so he can take care of you. He can quench your thirst. He can give you everlasting water to drink. Amen. That he can supply miracles in your life. He wants to do a miracle of new beginning for you, you old dead stump. Amen. Just stop your barking. Let's go. I have one more scripture for you. All right, we'll leave that one alone. Let's go. John 7:37. I'm just going to branch off into something different now. All right, stay with the sermon. John 7:37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, Jesus said, and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. He said, those believing in him would receive the Spirit. Jesus said, those who believe in him would receive the Spirit. Two different things. Those who believe in him would receive the Spirit, and out of their hearts would flow rivers of living water. Why? They'd be refreshed by the water flowing out from the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus is saying to you this morning, drink of his Spirit. Quench your thirst. You may have been cut down in life. You may have had the roots cut off from you. You may have made missteps in life, and you may have been hurt and so on, and people in different events. But there is hope in God for you. You are a tree waiting for the refreshing of the Spirit of God to have a new life in him. Amen. You're going to be a tree planted by the rivers of living water that bring forth its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. That's the new beginning. I want to leave you with this thought, and I've put it up for you to see. The most important thing you can do, the most important thing, as a Christian, is receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in your prayer language, talking to God, using that gifting. It will refresh you. It will build you up. Jesus said those who believe in him will receive the Holy Spirit. He said it will quench your thirst. You never have to become like an old dead stick. You never have to become like an old tree that's been cut down and feel like there's no hope. There's no new life for you. There's no dreams. No, no. There's always dreams. He's the God of hope. There's always hope. All you need is the scent of water. All you need is one drop of the Holy Spirit. All you need to do is reach out to him for a few moments. Give yourself, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and receive and drink of heaven's water, the Holy Spirit. And you will begin to bud again. God gave you the life giver. Jesus is the life giver. You have God in you. He is the life giver. So bury the past, bury those old hurts, and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Believe that you receive a miracle of a new beginning. Amen. I want you all to stand.